Welcome to Earth Matters on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU at 89.1 FM, and Las Cruces Community Radio, KTAL LP at 101.5 FM. I'm Donna Stevens, your host for today's program, and the Executive Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, a local nonprofit working to protect the Gila watershed through advocacy, education, and restoration. Today's show is Earth Matters' traditional year-end review, where we look back at 2020 and we look ahead to the new year, 2021. What a year it's been. Joining me on this program are my two Earth Matters co-hosts, Kevin Bixby, Executive Director of the Southwest Environmental Center in Las Cruces, and Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project, or GRIP, in Silver City. Welcome, Allison and Kevin.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, Donna. Hi, Allison.
Kevin, let's start the show with you and with a question that incorporates the absolutely biggest story of the year. And of course, I am talking about the pandemic here. Can you please tell us about the connection between wildlife, habitat destruction, and the pandemic?
Yeah, this was a big story for sure. The experts have been telling us for years that there's a connection between our allowing for biodiversity to be lost, to allowing for natural habitats to be destroyed and populations of wild animals to disappear, that there's a connection between that and the likelihood of infectious diseases jumping from a non-human species to humans. And in fact, research has shown that there's been an increase in the number of these infectious zoonotic diseases in recent decades. And so everything about COVID-19, the coronavirus pandemic, was predicted by the experts. And of course, no one really knows the exact genesis of this particular pandemic, although it's thought by most scientists that it may have been a virus that was hosted by bats and somehow made a leap to another intermediary species that then crossed and became a human disease, because it's a new virus for humans, obviously. So very direct connection between the state of the world and this upheaval that we've seen in 2020 because of the coronavirus and what humans have been doing to wild nature for far too long. So, yeah, and there's some movement in Congress. I don't think it's gotten very far, but to pass some policy measures to try and address this problem. And of course, with the coronavirus, there's a lot of focus on so-called wet markets in China, where meat and live animals from all sorts of different wildlife species for sale, and obviously direct connection with touching and consumption, et cetera. So it just is a huge object lesson that we destroy nature at our own peril.
Yeah, that's a really good point to make. I think that it probably isn't very obvious to most people that there is a connection between habitat destruction and the pandemic, which has taken a pretty fierce toll on humanity this year. In 2020, Kevin, 2020 was a really big year for wolves. Can you tell us what happened in 2020?
Yes, there was a huge good news and bad news for wolves in the United States. The bad news was the Trump administration delisted gray wolves throughout the United States from protection under the Endangered Species Act. So they're no longer get that federal protection that is accorded to species that are listed as endangered or threatened. And it's everywhere except for does not include the Mexican gray wolf, which is a subspecies which we have here in New Mexico and Arizona and in northern Mexico. But wolves everywhere else have been, these federal protections have been removed. You know, this has happened before. The feds have tried to do this in the past, but, the courts have always well, somewhat reversed that effort, although wolves in the Northern Rockies have been delisted because of Congress. This move by the Trump administration, one of many attempts to roll back environmental protections across the board, it will be litigated. It is being litigated, so it may not stand. But for the time being, wolves are once again unprotected at the federal level, and now it devolves to the states to take over management. And the states across the board have shown themselves hostile to wolves and wolf conservation. Maybe not California so much, but definitely Idaho and Utah and Michigan and Wisconsin and Montana and Wyoming. They don't like wolves. The state wildlife agencies do not like wolves. So that was the bad news. Good news is the voters in Colorado this past November passed a ballot initiative which requires the state of Colorado to reintroduce wolves into that state. It's a state with lots of great wolf habitat. It's historic territory for wolves, but there are no wolves that are permanently settled in Colorado as of now. There may be a few that have made it across the killing fields of Wyoming to the northwest corner of Colorado, but just only a handful, if there are any. So this is great news. And you know, the people of Colorado, wolf advocates, wildlife advocates, they had to take this step to go to the voters because their state wildlife agency and their state legislature would not show leadership on this. They would not take the initiative to bring wolves back to the state. So people did it themselves.
Well, that's great news. Your group, Kevin, the Southwestern Environmental Center, has been fighting to stop the border wall construction for the past 4 years. What's going on right now with the border wall?
Well, Donna, that's a really sad story. This is a case where there's just this huge disconnect between, well, let me step back. So we've been trying to stop construction all in every border state, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. We've been trying to get Congress not to keep providing funding for the border wall. And of course, when Congress did not give Trump all the billions that he was asking for in 2018, the government shut down for a month. And then when he didn't get what he needed in 2019, he declared a state of emergency along the border and stole money from other sources in the federal government, from the Defense Department. We've been trying each time a new section of new wall is proposed, SWEC and our partners, you know, we do whatever we can to stop it, but our options are really limited because Congress back in 2005 gave the Secretary of Homeland Security this extraordinary authority to dispense with any law, federal, state, or local, that is deemed an impediment to construction of border barriers. And that law, that authority remains on the books today. And so every time a new section of border wall is constructed, the administration has waived, the Endangered Species Act, National Environmental Policy Act, Clean Water Act, the Native American Graves and Protection and Repatriation Act, the Antiquities Act, you name it, every bedrock law on the book has been waived. So basically, in constructing the border wall, the administration has made the border a lawless region. We don't enjoy the same protection under law that other communities do in other parts of the country. So we haven't been able to stop construction. We've gone to court, and our legal challenges to the administration stealing money from the Defense Department to build a wall, every time there's been a ruling in the lower court level, federal, district, and circuit courts, we've won. But unfortunately, the Supreme Court will not allow for construction to be halted, even though, you know, clearly it's a very significant impact, and we have a very good chance of winning our lawsuits on the merits, you know, until these cases reach the Supreme Court, and that's where they're heading next year. Construction is continuing, and right now it's at breakneck speed because the administration is in such a rush to complete these contracts that have been issued, these multi-billion-dollar contracts to construct the wall, and beautiful places along the border are being dynamited, and Native American grave sites have been desecrated. Right now, you know, we're just counting the minutes until January 20th, and President Biden takes office, and we are urging him to cancel immediately all construction contracts, and then to begin a process of looking where we can prioritizing segments of the wall that we want to take down because of their, you know, harm to wildlife. Like, for example, in the Boot Heel of New Mexico, where the wall is now blocking jaguar and Mexican gray wolf corridors, and, you know, places where, you know, Native American sites have been desecrated. So we're urging the new administration to initiate a process to look at where these areas are and then take down those wall sections.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up the current administration, Kevin, because that leads me to my next question. There was a lot at stake for the environment in this year's election. What were some of those stakes, and what is the prospect for making progress now that the election is over?
Yeah, well, it was huge, of course, from the White House to Congress to the state level. And it was a real mixed result. We got the White House back, and this has been one of the most environmentally destructive president in our history. So that's good news. We lost seats in Congress, but in New Mexico, we gained a lot of seats. A lot of progressive champions won their elections, and so now we have a good chance to get good progressive legislation passed in New Mexico.
Okay, well, Kevin, thank you for that. We need to take a short break here on Earth Matters on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU, and KTAL LP in Las Cruces. So please stay with us. We'll continue our look back at conservation issues of 2020.
Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City and KTAL LP 101.5 in Las Cruces. All of the Earth Matters hosts are here for this end of the year review. I'm Kevin Bixby, Executive Director of the Southwest Environmental Center, and I'm talking with Earth Matters co-host Allison Siwick of the Gila Resources Information Project and Donna Stevens, Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. Before the break, we were talking about some of the issues that SWEC tackled, the Southwest Environmental Center, in 2020. Now I'd like to ask you, Allison, about what you worked on in 2020. You had a big victory this year with the defunding of the Gila Diversion Project. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, it was amazing, but the Gila River Diversion, after 15 years of hard work, is finally defeated. So this is a project that the Gila Conservation Coalition has been working on since 2003, and I'll just remind everybody quickly that Gila Conservation Coalition is made up of GRIP, Gila Resources Information Project, Donna's group, Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and the Center for Biological Diversity. So we've been working, all three groups, under the umbrella of GCC since 2003, and so essentially, after 15 years of planning and opposing this really ill-conceived and unaffordable project, the ISC voted in June to stop work on the environmental compliance process. So they reviewed the draft environmental impact statement under the NEPA process, or National Environmental Policy Act, and decided, because the costs significantly outweighed the benefits, and also the project water from the diversion would have been unaffordable to irrigators, they decided it doesn't make any sense to spend any more money on funding this planning process that's not going to end up going anywhere. So they voted 7-2 to defund the NEPA process. And so since June, basically, the Interstate Stream Commission has been working with the Bureau of Reclamation and the New Mexico CAP entity on kind of unwinding that whole entire process and sort of closing out the work.
Well, you know, it certainly shows the importance of persistence, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's like a never-ending project, and really it's taken persistent opposition is what I like to say, for, you know, 15 plus years from all corners of the state. And it's really an amazing showing of bringing business, conservation community, elected officials, faith-based communities, bringing everybody together to oppose this project.
Well, that's fantastic. So what are the next steps in the process? Is the project dead?
Yeah, so right now the diversion project, so under the Arizona Water Settlements Act, efforts to divert 14,000 acre feet of water a year from the Gila in San Francisco, that effort is pretty much dead in the water. However, the New Mexico CAP entity still is pursuing its desire for a diversion, but, you know, they'd have to reinitiate NEPA and, you know, it'd be a big effort to get that going again. But we have $80 million in the New Mexico Unit Fund. This is money provided to New Mexico for any water supply demand in Southwest New Mexico. It's provided under the Arizona Water Settlements Act. Now that we're not doing a diversion, we have $80 million to spend on water projects here in Grant, Luna, Hidalgo, and Catron counties. And so the next steps are, you know, we want the Interstate Stream Commission to figure out how to equitably distribute that money to water projects here in Southwestern New Mexico. Now the CAP entity, they want to be in charge of that process. And, you know, we basically feel that they're not the right group to be heading up that process, since, you know, they've failed really with the diversion planning process, and they don't have the technical expertise. They don't, you know, they don't have full representation on the CAP entity. And so they really are the wrong group to bring everybody together throughout the four counties to decide how this money gets spent.
Let's turn now to mining issues that GRIP worked on in 2020. With global copper prices up and pressure to streamline approval of mining projects for critical and strategic minerals, what's been happening with mining and the environment here in Southwest New Mexico?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, Kevin, that copper has reached a seven-year high of close to $3.50 a pound. And, you know, on news that we now have a COVID vaccine and, you know, there are reduced copper stockpiles in China. So copper's really gone up. And so, and we're seeing at the federal level, we're seeing a lot of effort to streamline permitting processes for mining projects under this sort of idea that we need critical and strategic minerals for the green or clean energy transition, and also for weapons, defense systems, that kind of thing. And so, you know, we've seen NEPA processes being rolled back, and other land management agency processes being streamlined, and essentially basically to get rid of public participation processes. So we're seeing expansion plans laid out by Freeport-McMoRan here in Grant County. But at the same time, you know, we're also, we have really, through a pressure campaign, GRIP has been able to get the state regulatory agencies and Freeport to come to the table and buckle down and get reclamation plans and permits and financial assurance in place for the Chino and Cobre mines. I mean, these plans and permits have been more than a decade out of date and don't reflect sort of what is going to be happening at the mines in the future. And so the financial assurance, the bonds, the cash trusts that get put up to cover reclamation should the company go bankrupt, they were all out of date. So good news, we were able to get both Cobre and Chino finalized this year, which is really great. Tyrone has a new reclamation plan out there, and we're seeing permits get revised now and plans for financial assurance. So I hope that in 2021, we'll have those for Tyrone nailed down. You know, and then of course, we've got the Bureau of Land Management green-lighted a dolomite mine in the Florida Mountains in Deming. We are one of the conservation groups appealing that decision. They approved it without any plan for where any of that dolomite is going to get processed. So it's like approving the mining with no place to bring that material. And kind of like approving a bridge to nowhere, that idea. So we're appealing that in federal court. And then also the Copper Flat mine over in Hillsboro, good news on that, in that the State Mining and Minerals Division has said that they are not going to approve the permit until the mine demonstrates that they have sufficient water rights. So they need something like 6,000 acre feet of water to operate and operate the mine, and they only have a fraction of that. So that's really good news. So lots going on mining, and we are continuing to ensure that the mining projects that do get that mining projects that are proposed here in southwestern New Mexico meet socially and environmentally responsible standards for operation and also reclamation.
Well, that's great. The people of New Mexico certainly are fortunate that GRIP is on the job and keeping an eye on all these different mining proposals and operations. It's a complicated stuff, and it's great that you're out there doing that. In 2020, as a local response to the coronavirus pandemic, your organization helped organize the Grant County Coronavirus Update Project to help close the gap in information disparity. Can you tell us more about this? This seems a little out of the ordinary for what your group normally does.
Yeah, well, I think, Kevin, that, you know, GRIP's mission is to promote community health. And we do that by protecting our environment and natural resources. And, you know, as you mentioned in your segment, there is an environmental component to coronavirus update, or sorry, to the coronavirus pandemic. And, you know, we're really seeing, you know, a lot of the, that the pandemic has really kind of shined a light on the gaps in community resilience and, you know, ways in which we respond. And so GRIP also has information in its name. And so, you know, we kind of banded together with some local nonprofits and said, but this was back in March, like right when we were starting to shut down and realizing that, you know, there was really a lack of local information here in Grant County. And, you know, some of the bigger communities like Santa Fe and Albuquerque and Las Cruces had local websites providing information. And, you know, also 30% of households in Grant County do not have access to the internet. So we realized getting information out and by other means was really going to be important, not only from a health perspective, but also from an economic response perspective. So we A bunch of groups came together. We started a radio a week. Well, it started out as a daily radio program, Grant County Coronavirus Update. And then we also added a website to that, which is grantcountycoronavirusupdate.org, which, you know, 4,000, just about 4,000 people actually have accessed and used the website since it went live in May. So, you know, we really view this as, you know, building community resilience and is going to help us not only with COVID, but any future pandemics, climate change, and any kind of natural disasters that come about. So, you know, we're fortunate that we were able to bring people together to get this project done.
Well, that's fantastic. We're going to take a short break on Earth Matters on Gila Membres Community Radio, KURU, at 89.1 FM and KTALLP at 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. When we return, we'll continue our discussion about 2020 conservation issues. Please stay tuned.
Welcome to the second half of Earth Matters here on KURU, 89.1 FM in Silver City, and KTALLP, 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. I'm Allison Civic, Executive Director of the Gila Resources Information Project. And my other Earth Matters co-hosts are here for this end of year review. And we just heard from Kevin Bixby of the Southwest Environmental Center at the beginning of the show. And then Kevin and I talked about GRIPS projects. And next we'll talk with Donna Stevens, Executive Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. How are you, Donna?
I'm doing well, Allison. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, well, great. This is a tradition. I don't even know how many years we've been doing this, but it's been a long time. So Donna, in the first half of the show, we were talking about some of the work that SWEC and GRIP did, and maybe you can give us a sense of some of the highlights of your work this year.
Sure. Well, I'd have to say that one of the best things that happened in 2020 is something that you've already mentioned, and that is the Gila River diversion victory. So protecting the Gila River is something that we've worked on for a long time, as you said, since about 2003. And it's really difficult to be involved in an issue for so long without making any really tangible progress. So our victory in June of 2020 felt especially sweet when the Interstate Stream Commission voted not to fund the environmental compliance work that's necessary for a Gila River diversion. We were all listening to that vote from our home offices because everybody's working remotely, right? And so it felt really great to actually win that victory. And at the same time, it felt a little bit anticlimactic because there's nobody around to celebrate with. I'm just alone in my home office saying, did I really hear that right? And so it wasn't as much fun as it would have been if we had all been able to get together and celebrate with a little party at the river. But still, really glad that it happened.
Yeah, it was shocking. It was, yep, I agree with you. And so Donna, you know, you mentioned working in the home office. How else did the pandemic affect UGWA's work this year?
Well, just like it did with so many millions of people across the country, we really had to adapt. And I mostly did that by working at home instead of at the UGWA office. And I already worked at home a lot anyway, so that was a fairly painless adjustment for me. But I'll have to say that it was a lot more difficult for my UGWA coworker, Carol Ann Fugali, because she does the education and outreach work for UGWA. And suddenly, like overnight, she was suddenly unable to do any in-person climate change education work, which she really loves to do. So, for example, we had raised funds for several Aldo Leopold Charter School students to travel to Reno for a climate reality training in March. So these trainings are 2 to 3 day educational events, and they are organized by former Vice President Al Gore. And they teach participants the science of climate change and train them to be leaders in their communities when they return. And like so many events this year, it was canceled. In fact, it was one of the first events to be canceled. before a lot of people were even paying that much attention to gathering in person. So Carol Ann also organizes the Children's Water Festival, where she takes fifth graders from Cobray, Silver City, and Lordsburg school districts to the Gila River. Some of these kids, even though they live really close to the river, have never been there before. So while they're there, they learn about the macroinvertebrates that give us some clues about the health of the river. They learn about native plants, the various features of a river, and they also learn about our collective responsibility to be good stewards of the river. And they get to learn all of this while they're having fun in the river, so it sticks more with them than some boring lesson in the classroom. So, of course, that event had to be postponed, but we hope that it will happen in fall of 2021. We'll have to wait and see how that unfolds.
Yeah, and Donna, speaking of the pandemic and how it affected your work, let's talk about the 2020 Gila River Festival and how we adapted it in response to COVID.
Yeah, well, as you know, Allison, I work with you on the Gila River Festival, which is usually a four-day festival in September, where we have presentations and guided field trips, music and dancing in the park, a puppet parade, and lots of other events. So this year, which was the 16th annual Gila River Festival, we had to think really a lot about how and even whether to proceed. And we ended up deciding to pare the festival down to just 2 days, and the entire Gila River Festival was online. So we had never done anything like this before and had no idea what to expect. And still, we ended up getting hundreds of people to participate. And to me, that really shows you the power of the Gila River and how much people love the Gila River. And we had some really great presentations on topics such as resilience in our local water supply, the transition to clean, renewable energy, indigenous resistance and the rights of nature, and a whole lot of other presentations. We had a slideshow from John Fuller, who wrote Gila River Elegy, which I believe came out in either 2019 or 2020. It's very recent. And John was a really great storyteller, and he told stories of his paddling trip on the Gila River from the headwaters all the way down to the Colorado River. We even had a virtual cocktail party where we got to toast the Gila River Diversion Victory, which we talked about a few minutes ago. And we also kind of paid tribute to the champions of keeping the Gila River free and wild, such as our beloved colleague, Dutch Salmon, who passed away in March of 2019.
It was really great. And I do want to just interject here that thanks to the New Mexico Humanities Council, we are able to make all of those presentations available for free now up on the Gila Conservation Coalition Vimeo channel. So vimeo.com/showcase/Gila River Festival. So all the presentations that Donna just talked about are up there for people to check out. So Donna, tell us about the tamarisk removal work that you did on the Gila. This is really super important work.
Yeah, this is something that UGWA's been working on for 5 years now. So tamarisk, which is also called salt cedar, is a really invasive tree that can take over, and it crowds out the native vegetation such as cottonwoods and willows that provide really great wildlife habitat. And tamarisks are really hard to kill, so you can't just do it once and think you're finished. This is a multi-year project. So we have removed tamarisk on the Gila River on the Middle Fork, fortunately didn't find any on the West Fork, and also on the main stem Gila River through the Gila Wilderness area all the way down to the confluence with Mugione Creek. And in 2020, we didn't work in the wilderness area. We treated tamarisk in the Gila River bird area and a few miles downstream of there. And if we get funding in 2021, we hope to continue this work.
Wow, that's really great. So, and easy to do in a socially distanced way, being out there in the field, it sounds like.
That's right. And that was a little more complicated, but easier to do outside.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Donna, I know that one thing UGWA has been involved in for several years is the Gila National Forest Forest Management Plan revision. And so what kind of happened in 2020?
Well, you know, some of these issues that UGWA works on take years to complete. We've already talked about the diversion issue. And the Gila National Forest Management Plan is one of these really long-term projects. The forest plan is important because it guides the Forest Service's management of the Gila National Forest for at least 10 to 15 years. So right now, the so-called current forest plan that we're using now came out in the mid-1980s, and there's absolutely no mention of climate change in it because most people were not really talking about that back then. The plan is really outdated. Comments on the Forest Service's draft forest plan were due in mid-April of 2020. And, you know, this was just a month into the pandemic. So we tried to get an extension on the public comment period just because of the challenges of working during the pandemic. For instance, some of my colleagues were really scrambling to find childcare for their young kids. They suddenly find themselves working at home with these kids clamoring to get their attention. And unfortunately, the Forest Service declined our extension request, but we were able to meet the deadline anyway in mid-April. And our comments included the need for robust protections for rivers and streams, for riparian areas, wildlife habitat, and also a serious response to the expected impacts of climate change, not just mentioning it, but really thinking about how we can mitigate some of those impacts that we expect to see. We also wanted to see recommendations for more wilderness areas. In the Gila, there's hundreds of thousands of acres that meet the very specific qualifications that you need to meet in order to become wilderness areas. And we want the forest plan to recognize and recommend some of these places. Here, I do need to point out that these would be recommendations only, because only Congress can designate wilderness areas.
Right, yeah. So Donna, just one question on that. When are we gonna see the next release from the Forest Service on the forest plan?
Well, the latest information that we have is that we will see the final forest plan perhaps in spring of 2021. Frankly, I would be surprised if it comes out that early, but I think sometime in 2021, we'll see it.
And so another long-term project that several groups have been working on is the Wild and Scenic River designation for the Gila and San Francisco rivers. And what happened in 2020? More good news, right?
Yes, this was really good news in a year that didn't have very much good news. So there was a big step forward when Senators Tom Udall and Martin Heinrich, who are our New Mexico senators, introduced the legislation into the Senate. So the bill was heard in a Senate committee hearing, but it didn't go to the floor for a vote. And Senator Udall is retiring at the end of the year, and so we will not have him back as our conservation champion when the Senate reconvenes next year. So fortunately, though, we'll still have Senator Martin Heinrich, who's been really great on environmental issues. We hope that he will introduce this bill again in 2021, and that our new Senator, Ben Ray Lujan, will learn to walk in the shoes of his predecessor, Tom Udall. Those are big shoes to fill as a conservation champion. So we're looking forward to seeing that. And the reason that Wild and Scenic River designation is important is because it keeps the river segments the way they are now and protects them against future degradation. So it keeps the current uses just the way they are now. The access doesn't change. For example, if a grazing permittee, if they have a livestock operation near the river, they can continue to do that as they are now. Water rights aren't affected. If there is existing roads that lead to a river, those roads will still be there. And if there's conversely, if there's private property that does not have public access to the river, that will not change with Wild and Scenic designation. So it's just a really important way to protect our rivers and just kind of keep them the way they are now so that future generations can enjoy them the way we do today.
Absolutely. All right, Donna, thanks for that really, really good summary of UGWA's work. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back on Earth Matters here on Hilo Mimbres Community Radio, KURU at 89.1 FM and KTEL LP at 101.5 FM in Las Cruces.
Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City and KTAL LP 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. I'm Donna Stevens, the Executive Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and I'm here today with my other Earth Matters co-hosts, Kevin Bixby of the Southwest Environmental Center in Las Cruces and Allison Civic of GRIP, Gila Resources Information Project in Grant County. We've been looking back at 2020 and all the issues we've worked on in this historic year. Now we're going to take a look ahead to 2021. Kevin, I wanted to ask you, before we look at 2021, what was your greatest achievement in 2020?
Oh, well, thank you for that question. I have to say, so at the end of 2019, I was working with Subankar Banerjee, a professor at University of New Mexico and a really strong leader on the need to protect biodiversity globally. And he's written tons of articles and he's put on conferences. Anyway, he's a real champion. And we were also working with Senator Udall's office, and we planned to host a conference on how to protect New Mexico's biological diversity sometime in the fall of 2020. Well, of course, that didn't happen, but we pivoted to a webinar series, and there were four webinars in that series. And we had, they all sort of took a different perspective on how to go about protecting biodiversity. And I hosted the final in the series on transforming state wildlife management to protect biodiversity. So I have to say that's our the achievement I'm most proud of for 2020 so far.
That's cool. And I've seen a couple of those, Kevin. I did not see the most recent one, but I believe there's a recording of it, right?
Yes, people can go to the Species in Peril website, which is hosted by UNM, I believe, and they're archived there.
Okay. So, Kevin, what big issues do you expect to tackle in 2021?
Well, the topic of the webinar that I hosted, Transforming State Wildlife Management to Protect Biodiversity in the United States, that's going to be our top focus, top priority. We have a chance in New Mexico to pass some progressive wildlife legislation in the upcoming session, possibly expanding the mandate of the Department of Game and Fish to be a true wildlife conservation agency and look after all species, not just game species. Also, finding new sources of funding to achieve that expanded mandate, changing the name of the department from Game and Fish to Department of Wildlife, and hopefully get a ban on trapping on public lands in New Mexico. So we've got some legislation. And then beyond that, I really hope to put some energy and elevate this national campaign. So we're not just talking about New Mexico, but we're trying to advance wildlife reform legislation and policies in other states as well. So that's what we'll be focused on.
Oh, excuse me, Kevin, it really sounds like you have your work cut out for you. So I hope that all goes well next year.
Thank
Alice,
you.
That's a lot of work to accomplish. Allison, what do you foresee coming up in the next year?
Yeah, thanks, Donna. Well, as we talked about earlier, we at the Gila Conservation Coalition, we're going to be really tracking allocation of the New Mexico Unit Fund, $80 million in that fund that can be spent on any water supply project in the four counties of southwestern New Mexico. So we really want to put pressure on the Interstate Stream Commission to ensure that that money all goes to much needed water projects. We've got $137 million in water supply project needs on the infrastructure capital improvement plan lists for the four counties and the municipalities and special districts within those four counties. So the need is great, and we can't afford to not get that money out to local communities. We're also gonna be working on the Holloman final EIS, Environmental Impact Statement. We're expecting that at the end of the year or early January, expecting the final EIS to come out publicly, and then we'll have 30 days to respond. We have no idea what the Holloman Air Force Base is gonna say in terms of their plans to train F-16 pilots over the Gila, but we are prepared to fight if we need to, depending upon that decision. So that's a big one coming up. As I mentioned, the Freeport-McMoRan's Tyrone Mine is, they've talked publicly about their 10-year expansion plan. They'll be expanding the Little Rock Mine, also a new open pit just south of the mine, south of the, what I guess is kind of commonly referred to as the Burrow Mountain Homestead Road, but it's basically Tyrone Thompson Road right on Highway 90. So a new 500-foot deep pit, kind of shallow as open pits go here in Grant County. But anyway, we want to make sure that local residents are impacts to local residents who live close to these expanded mining operations are taken care of. Water quality is protected, air quality, etc. The mine really has a responsibility to operate and make plans for reclamation that are socially and environmentally responsible. So that's really our job in 2021. Also, just want to note a couple events we've got coming up. World Water Day in March. We hope to be back down in the Big Ditch doing water quality monitoring and trash cleanup and some Big Ditch or San Vicente Creek restoration. We are doing this through the Silver City Watershed Keepers, which is a project that GRIP coordinates. And then finally, Earth Day, which we hope will be back in the park on Gough Park on April 24th. Usually Earth Day is the 22nd, but we'll be celebrating it on the 24th this year. So stay tuned for more information. With that, Donna, I'm going to switch to you. What does UGWA plan to work on in the new year?
Well, some of the things that you've talked about, we will also be working on. So, you know, the non-diversion water supply projects that we hope to see proceed this year, and Holloman Air Force Base, the military trainings over the Gila. As we talked about earlier, we will be responding to the Gila National Forest final forest management plan, which should come out next year. We just want to make sure, along with the other groups that we collaborate with, that our input was incorporated into the plan. And if not, we will probably be filing an objection. One of our main focuses is to make sure that climate change is really taken seriously and is being planned for, although we do understand that that's not an easy thing to do. And if all goes well with the COVID vaccine distribution, we hope that we can return to doing some in-person projects, just like you mentioned, Allison. Ours would be climate change education again. We hope to do that in person and host the Children's Water Festival for the area's fifth grade students. That will probably happen in the fall of 2021. I hope things have calmed down by then and we can go back to some of the things we used to do. Another thing that we're working on in 2021 that I'm pretty excited about is a spring restoration project in the Gila National Forest. So springs are extremely important for wildlife habitat and wildlife watering holes in the forest, but unfortunately most of them are in really bad shape. So this year UGWA got a grant from the New Mexico Environment Department to protect a spring, and this is in the forest near the town of Luna. So this spring has been degraded by livestock grazing over many decades, and our project would fence the spring from cattle and let it recover on its own. So, I mean, although this is a relatively simple project and it fences the spring and a little bit of the stream that runs out of the spring, it's only about 5 acres, but it's complicated because it's expensive work, and the spring has cut down to bedrock, so we'd have to drill holes in the rock for fencing. And so, you know, working with the agencies to make these things happen is time consuming and expensive. And this is just one spring among the dozens in the forest that really should be protected. So we have a lot of work to do to protect our land and water, as always. And unfortunately, funding is always an issue. And we are again hoping to get funding to continue our work on tamarisk eradication on the Gila River, as I mentioned earlier. And also, you know, we know from experience that things come up unexpectedly and we have to respond right away. I'm thinking here about the Air Force proposal that came up out of the blue for us a couple of years ago. And we just really had to respond to it, even though we already had too much work to do. Fortunately, we have a really caring community of people who care deeply about the Gila's land and water, and people rose to the challenge. So that's about all we have time for today. So I would like to thank my Earth Matters co-hosts, Allison Civic of GRIP, Kevin Bixby of Southwest Environmental Center, for joining me on Earth Matters to look back at 2020, the year that we're glad to see end. Many thanks to audio engineers Marcus Hansen and Michael Allen. Thank you to Gila Members Community Radio and Las Cruces Community Radio for their dedication to keeping these stations on the air in a really difficult and challenging year. And thanks to you, our listeners, for supporting the station and tuning into this week's program. I'm Donna Stevens of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. Please join us next week for another edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU at 89.1 FM, and Las Cruces Community Radio, KTAL LP at 101.5 FM. Our very best wishes for a safe and healthy holiday season and new year. May it be better than 2020.